And to hear a story like that, just to realize the game is played on many levels. Many levels. Shirdi Sai Baba, not Satya Sai Baba, but Shirdi, the old Baba. He was a miracle Baba. He said, I give people what they want so they'll want what I give. Because you realize that freedom has nothing really to do with miracles at all. Miracles are just reminding you that it's not the way you think it is. And that frees you a little bit to be able to wonder, how is it? And when you wonder how is it, you're hooked. So you enter into a relationship with another person if you're lucky. It could be a friend, it could be a partner, it could be a fellow employee, it could be somebody you meet once a month or once a week or to study with or something like that. Will you enter in with the contract, let us help each other awaken. Let us help each other remember together. Let's use our relationship to remind ourselves that we're stuck, that we don't have to be stuck, that we are already free, we're just busy being stuck. And these are very, very precious relationships, and they are very rare. I wish there were more of them. I wish we all had them all the time, but they are rare. And a lot of people who say they'd like to enter into that don't really want to. They just want to be somebody who wants to want to enter into it. And that's most of us. Because you come to the point where you are so familiar holding on to who you think you are, your psychodynamics, that you take even the fancy contract to awaken and use it in the service of your psychodynamics. I'm helping you awaken, for God's sake. You're trapped. And I'm free, and I know I'm free because I see how trapped you are. Damn it. I love it. Oh, boy. I think when you're working with another person in being free together, so that each moment in a relationship is the moment for us to be just here together, dancing through the form. It's like the form of lecturer and listener. Can you hear without getting caught in listening? Can I speak without getting caught in speaking? Can you and I be together through this dance of talking and listening? Does this talking and listening separate me from you because you're them? Or am I in the world of us sharing this breath together? And is it bringing the us closer together? I have all these little aids, mechanisms, techniques to remind me. They're all traps. They're all traps. All methods are traps. I mean, meditation is a trap. You don't want to end up a meditator. You want to end up free. Judaism is a trap. This is a hard one. For those that are Jews, you don't want to end up a Jew. You want to end up free. I was just in Israel, and I tried saying things like that. I says, sure, then you delight in all the forms. You delight in your sexual identity, in your religious identity, in your social and economic identities, and your political identities, and all of your family identities, but you're not trapped in them. And in relationships, there is a balance. You don't ignore the personality stuff, because it's still real to people. You fulfill it in the way you can, without getting lost in it. It is up to the most conscious person in a relationship to create this space where the relationship can grow. And I'd be with Maharaji, and I'd be very serious about something, and he'd just giggle. And what I'm left with over the years are things like the giggle. Because Maharaji was, for me, that mirroring process, and yet he was passionately alive. He was chiding and throwing things and screaming at people and laughing and holding and doing all that stuff. And at the same moment, it was just like a vast mountain of emptiness. We were all busy with our personality. Who can get his foot to massage it? Who can get closest? Who will he give a name to? Who will he love the most? There was a guy who I knew from the States. He was kind of unbalanced at that time because he had had a bad love affair. And so I told him to come to India, and he came to India. And every time he tried to get near Maharaji, Maharaji would push him away. And I got really upset with Maharaji because this guy really needed something. So I brought him into the room and I'd sort of aim Maharaji at him, you know. And Maharaji would ignore him completely, and I would get more and more furious with Maharaji. And then at one moment Maharaji turned and attended to him, and within a week that guy had moved into the top slot in the whole temple, and he was going into the room when I couldn't, and I was hating that guy, absolutely detesting it. It was absolutely extraordinary. It's interesting that this kind of stuff we do when we come together and we study and we work and we meditate and we sing and we do all this, and we do it over years, and you can feel how we are changing. We are slowly, 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 and there's no time again, so it could happen from person in a moment, but you can feel the process going on of lightening up, of not taking the personality so seriously, of not taking the dramas of life, not getting so trapped in them. Not pulling back, but not being trapped. Passionate involvement and emptiness. A joy that doesn't deny what is in the world and isn't trapped by it. And it's all process. It doesn't end. It's just a continuous process. Continuous process. Maharaji kept a diary. And every day in the diary, I mean, can you imagine a realized being keeping a diary? What do you suppose he thought was significant that he wrote down every day? 2 pages he wrote every day. And he had books of it, book after book. There were all stacks of these books. Every day, 2 pages. He wrote all the critical events that happened during the day. If you open the page, it says, Ram, 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 Ram. Just 2 pages of Ram, 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 Ram every day. And when he was about to die, he gave it to Sidi Ma, this incredible woman. He said, would you keep my diary from here on in? It was called his diary. And he was just bringing it all back into its source all the time. Bringing it all back into its source all the time. And he was still doing practices. But it wasn't practices out of need, it was practices out of celebration. He was just celebrating it all. And then just this one other little story. I knew, I could tell in my inner gut who he was. And I knew who I was. Hear the tone? I was, and I knew who he was. And I wanted what he had, so I'd have it too. And the problem was he kept distracting me all the time. You know, he'd come and he'd talk to me about America. Who gave a damn about America? I want to get enlightened, you know. And I saw that more talking about America didn't get me anywhere. So one day I determined not to be sucked in. And I was brought out to the temple with this Indian man. And there was just this Indian man and me and Maharaji. It was late in the, it was sunset. So the Indian man and I came up to Maharaji's tucket and we sat down in front of him. And I decided I had been reading Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga. So I brought my awareness to my third eye, my ajna, and I sat there. I went into meditation. Like, damn it, you give me what I want.